Right, we're mic'd up, ready to go. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Peter once again in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll continue on with this passage through verse 15 this evening. Second Peter chapter 1, let's read from verse 1 once again just to get the connection and review the verses that we did look at. Second Peter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So Peter is continuing to write to this group of people, actually that we learn from 1 Peter, are pilgrims, aliens, scattered, all over the region of that time. And as Peter writes this second epistle, he's really writing to the same people. As we see from chapter 3 and verse 1, he talks about, this is the second epistle that I'm writing to you. But of course, this is written to more than just those people of that day. This is written to you and I here in the 21st century. And as I mentioned this morning, one of the great concerns that caused Peter to write this particular book is the false teachers. And false teachers have always been around. I mean, we can go back even into the Old Testament, there's false teachers. But certainly in the New Testament days, there's been false teachers. Well, this is the first century, and we have them today. So what we really need is to be grounded in who the Lord Jesus Christ is, in what we have, in the great salvation that he has given to us. And then as we looked this morning, we need to be adding to the faith that we have these various virtues, verses 5 through 7, and see them growing and abounding in our lives. And that should be, it's meant to be, an encouragement to us and to give us assurance that we truly know the Lord, as we can look at our lives and we see that the Lord is helping us through the Spirit of God, and we're developing these various things. The child of God is going to develop these particular virtues to some degree, and it's meant, again, to be an encouragement to us that we indeed know the Lord. And also, as we saw this morning, verse 8, that we would neither be barren nor unfruitful. So as we grow in the Lord, we see fruitfulness. We see things happening in our lives because that germ of life, so to speak, that seed of life that is within us is growing and it's blooming. Therefore, we won't be short-sighted, as verse 9 says, even to blindness, not being able to see afar off, but rather the Lord will put in our hearts and our minds to look, to be far-sighted, to have eternal values in mind, and to set our minds on things above, not the things of this earth, to not live just for the temporal, material things of life, but rather the spiritual concerns of life. So as we see all these things develop in our lives to some degree, it's an encouragement to us that we truly belong to the Lord. And then lastly, in verse 11 that we looked at this morning, he says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I don't know if you ever stop and think what that entrance into heaven will be like. We can use our sanctified imagination, I guess, to just ponder that, to see the Lord, to leave this scene, to be in the presence of our Lord, to be in a place where righteousness dwells. We'll be changed, we'll be like our Lord, and what a tremendous time that will be. But we want to focus specifically on verses 12 through 15 this evening. And we were looking at this little outline here, knowing the person of the faith, knowing the provisions of the faith, that is our salvation, knowing the progress of our faith, and that's verses 5 through 11, how we ought to be progressing, growing. And tonight we want to look at this, knowing that there must be a perpetual reminding of the faith. If you noticed as we read those verses 12 through 15, that little word remind popped up there several times. To be reminded. And that's what we want to think about this evening. I mean, this is what the Spirit of God led Peter to write to these believers back there in the first century, and so that's what we'll look at here this evening. Some time ago, I remember reading an article, and it was an article about 9/11, but the article was kind of sad, really, in the sense that it was talking about children or young people someone was asking them, "What do you know about 9/11? I say 9/11, many of us here pops in our mind what that day was all about as the towers were attacked in New York City. But these children and young people that were asked what 9/11 was all about had no idea. Now think about that. It's 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. So that's almost a generation ago. And in some ways, especially us who are older, we think that's not that long ago. 20 years, and it's already forgotten. That's how easily, you know, and that was a major event. Heads are shaking of those who remember that day. You probably remember where you were. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. It was that kind of event. But here now, you know, a generation of younger people growing up, and for whatever reason, we don't teach it, there's no reminding, and so it's forgotten. Well, think about that in light of the Word of God. How quickly, how easily things can be forgotten. So Peter says, beginning here in verse 12. For this reason. In other words, the reason, the things we've been thinking about. Growth in the Lord, the assurance that that brings, and so forth. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. So what we want to think about this evening is reasons, a couple reasons, why we need to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded? Well, the first one's pretty obvious, because we tend to forget. And if you go back to verse 9, the second part of that verse, it's almost incredible to read, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Now again, the idea here isn't that you forget, the point that you never knew it, like it's erased from the memory. It's just, it's not something that's foremost on one's mind. Or it's something that's ignored, just not thought about much. And, we might marvel, how could anyone who actually is saved can forget that he was cleansed from his old sins? But if we're so caught up in the world and just living for the day and living for time, those kinds of things can easily be forgotten. This is nothing new in the Bible, this idea of forgetting. And you can turn to some of these verses or just listen at some of these verses that we read. For instance, Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalm goes on to list a number of the benefits. The psalmist is kind of speaking to his own heart, his own soul, not to forget these things. Maybe we need that reminder as well. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. A couple verses in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's not a mistake that a lot of these verses come from the book of Deuteronomy. Because what is the book of Deuteronomy? It is a book of reminding. It's a book of reminding the children of Israel, really a second giving of the law. As here's this generation of people now who are ready to go in to the land. Their parents are gone. Some drop dead in the wilderness. And here's a group of people, a generation of people, who really have not been taught the law of God. They needed to be reminded. And just look at a couple of these select verses from the book of Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So an admonition to that generation of people that they are to do what their parents didn't do for them. That is to teach their children, to remind them. Look at verse 23. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden. This idea of idolatry and that Israel was so prone to fall into, forgetting their God and not living for him. Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. I believe that's a wrong reference. Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. You know, we have a lot of commands in the New Testament. And we should not forget being obedient to what is written to us in the New Testament. Look at verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage and led you and so forth. And there is a warning toward a heart that's proud, a heart that becomes self-sufficient. And, you know, we should never think that we as the people of God can't get to the point where we become self-sufficient. We begin to trust in ourselves, our own abilities, our jobs, whatever it is that enables us to live and not be trusting in the Lord as we ought. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. You know, Paul had written to the Thessalonians and he had explained to them the rapture of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He had told them about the coming of the Lord Jesus for them. And then when you come to 2 Thessalonians, they were concerned that they were in the day of the Lord. And Paul says to them, "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things?" What had they forgotten? Well, they forgot apparently what Paul had said. They were so wrapped up with apparently a false teaching that was being given to them that they forgot the truth of what they had been taught. So we tend to be people who forget. Therefore, we need to be reminded. A second reason that we need to be reminded is that the truth needs to be repeated. The truth needs to be repeated over and over and over again. Now, anyone who has raised children or is raising children, both are present in this room, you know as well as I do that the things you tell your children, you don't tell them once. Over and over and over again. How many times have you told your children someone says something to them or does something nice for them, and what do you say? Thank you. And all kinds of things like that, right? You just go over it and over it and over it. And again, the truth needs to be repeated. We need to hear it often, that we not only know it, but it really gets driven into our hearts. And just a couple verses or little passages here to think about that. Back in Genesis chapter 9, you know, the Lord made reminders, things to see and to be reminded. And you remember after the flood, back in Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 17, God says, "Thus I establish my covenant with you, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth," and so forth. Did you ever ask somebody, "What's the rainbow?" I remember one day at work years ago, there was a really beautiful rainbow outside. And we went out to look at it. And I asked some of the guys, "What's that rainbow mean? Do you know what it means?" "Well, yeah, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow." Stupid stuff like that. So I told them what it meant. You know, here God has set this beautiful phenomenon in the sky. And, you know, we look at it and everybody agrees it's a beautiful thing to see. But it has a meaning. It's meant to be a reminder as we see that. And of course, we need to pass that on. We need to read it in the Word of God. We need to pass that truth on. And again, just little examples of this for the children of Israel. Look at chapter 17 of the book of Exodus and verse 14. Exodus 17 and verse 14. This is after the Amalekites and the victory that was won over them as Moses held up his hands, and verse 12 says, his hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I may utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You know, one of those major events in their history, and God didn't want them to forget it. Write it down in a book. Remind the people that they don't forget these truths. How about in the book of Joshua in chapter 4? Familiar portion that I know that you know. After they crossed the Jordan, they're in the land. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1. It came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God wanted to put this object lesson, if you will, there that children could see, and that they would ask, what are these things for? And the parents were to give an answer. You know, many of you have young children. And the day is going to come, as we're passing elements, for instance. What are we doing? What is that? Right? And it's a remembrance of the Lord, obviously. And you have the opportunity to explain to them and show them from God's word what we're doing, why we're doing it. Because children are going to ask. And we need to be reminded. The truth needs to be repeated, obviously, from generation to generation, and even within a generation. We need to be reminded of the truth. Judges chapter 8, after the death of Gideon, look at verse 33. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. The truth needs to be repeated. History is important. History is not meant to be rewritten, right? History is history. Truth is truth. And we constantly need to be reinforcing that, especially to our children, but just in the church as well. And then Psalm 78. This is a long psalm. We're not going to read the whole thing, just a couple verses. But a very long psalm, kind of rehearsing Israel's history. But notice at the beginning of the psalm, Psalm 78 and verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and do not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see when there's multiple generations of a family who know the Lord. And we have that here, and that's a wonderful thing. And may it continue on and on and on with each generation. But you know, that had to start somewhere, right? It started with a particular generation at some point in time. But through testimony, through reminders, through the truth being repeated, it filters down from one generation to another. And the Lord works. That's a tremendous thing. So, second reason why we need to be reminded, the truth needs to be repeated. Thirdly, look at verse 13, back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It's a third reason here why Peter is reminding them and why the Spirit of God is reminding us. Verse 13, Peter says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." To stir you up. That literally means to wake you up, to cause you to be awake, because you're spiritually asleep. All of us can fall asleep spiritually. You know, it's this same Peter who wrote back in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, be awake, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Peter was all about being awake. I think I mentioned as we went through 1 Peter, who learned that lesson better than Peter, who fell asleep at the switch, so to speak. So we need to be stirred up. We need to be awake. We need to stay awake. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. We need to know what's going on. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in this section where he's talking about the day of the Lord coming. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse, let's read from verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. But you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation." So again, an exhortation for us to be alert. And Paul says it very clearly and very forcefully in Romans chapter 13 with an admonition to be awake. To be spiritually awake. He says this, Romans 13, 11. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed." And think about that. Every day we live is one day nearer to meeting our Lord. One day nearer to hearing the shout. One day nearer to being at the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to be awake. He says in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." So we have these constant reminders to be awake and to be stirred up and to be sober and to know what's going on and to be on guard, to be looking, not to be deceived, to know the truth so that we can discern what we hear in our day. I mentioned 1 Peter 5:8. Someone has said, a most sad and dangerous condition for Christians is to be asleep spiritually. Very dangerous condition. So be alert, be awake. So a third reason, Peter says, why we need to be reminded is because we need to be stirred up. And as we hear truth again and again, you know, sometimes we hear something and we might not think much about it, or we're reading something on our own, we don't think much about it. Another time we hear it and it rings differently. It speaks to our hearts. It alerts us. For whatever reason, maybe we're more aware. Maybe we're just in a better place to understand it. The Spirit of God is working on us. And we read a truth of something to do or not to do, and it just registers. And it helps us. So stirring us up. You know, Peter says, I meant to mention back in verse 12, this whole idea of reminding and repeating, he's talking about the same truth. We're not really looking for new truth, are we? We're preaching the same thing. I mean, Paul's writings and these writings of the New Testament, they're really going over the same types of things. Coming at it from a different angle, different context. But a lot of it is the same type of truth. And God knows we need that. We need that repetition. And Peter even says in verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. He wasn't writing to people who didn't know. He was writing to people who did know. Obviously, you don't remind somebody who doesn't know. The people that need to be reminded are the people who already know something. And so, that's you and I. So a third reason to be stirred up. And then fourthly, and lastly, we look at these two verses 14 and 15. We need to think beyond our own lifetimes. You know, when we think about the Word of God and the ministering of truth and the proclamation of the truth and teaching of young people and any way we're giving forth the truth, we need to realize, all of us, that if the Lord be not come, you know, we'll leave this scene. But the truth must continue. The whole book of 2 Timothy has that idea in mind. It's the last book that Paul ever wrote, as far as the inspired word that Paul penned. It's the last book he ever wrote. There he is in prison. There isn't much he can do in prison. But he's not sorry for himself. He's not worried about what's going to happen. He knows he's going to die. He says, my departure is at hand. I'm done. It's over. I know that. He was in prison before, but he knew he would be released. But in 2 Timothy, it's different. The whole scene is different. Paul knows he's come to the end. And there's not one regret in Paul's writing there in 2 Timothy. But what he is concerned about is this young man, Timothy. And he gives exhortation after exhortation after exhortation to Timothy throughout that book. Timothy, don't be timid. Timothy, don't be ashamed. Timothy, be separated. Timothy, it's all these concerns of the truth continuing to go forth. That's what drove Paul, that this would continue even after he was gone. So the whole book of 2 Timothy really is couched in that context. Paul thinking about the church after he's gone. Obviously, he was a major person, an apostle, and handpicked of God, and he had a very unique ministry, the most unique ministry perhaps of any Christian in New Testament times. But he was going to pass off the scene. And what do we read here from Peter? Look at this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. What does he mean, as Jesus Christ showed him? Well, you remember what he said to Peter in Acts chapter 21, after he restored Peter in that setting there in verses 15 through 19. It says in verse 18, John 21, verse 18, the Lord says this to Peter, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And we might wonder what he's talking about. Well, verse 19 tells us, "This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God." The idea of stretching out one's hands in writings of the time that are outside the Bible even referred to crucifixion. I mean, the Lord told Peter, "You will die by crucifixion." And all those years, I mean, here it is, 30 to 40 years later, and Peter realizes, one of these days, I'm going to be taken out of this world. It's going to be quick, because it's going to be by crucifixion. It's not going to be any lingering illness. It's not going to be sitting in a prison for years and years. It's going to be by crucifixion. So knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, that is my body, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease or after my departure. So Peter has that same mindset too. He knows that he's going to pass off the scene at some point in time. He's probably, whatever, between 60 and 70 years old at this point in time. He knows his days are numbered, but he too is concerned about the people of God, that they would continue on. So he stresses here the need to remind. The need to remind. I want to close this evening by reading this portion in Deuteronomy. I love this portion. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and these couple verses. I think this is a great set of verses, certainly a great set of verses for families and those who have children, just to think through in principle what is being said here. Deuteronomy 6:1. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God. Keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." I think that's the third or fourth time tonight, just in these few verses we read, that it talks about a generation, the sons and grandsons. "Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." In other words, at all times, look for the opportunities to bring the Word of God, the principles, the truth of the Word of God into the lives of your children. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, keep the Word of God before us. Put it up on our walls. Put it where we can see it. Put it where we come in the door and we see the Word of God. It's a wonderful testimony too, by the way. people see the Word of God displayed in a home who knows the Lord. Wonderful thing. Verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, a lot of those things he's talking about what he did for Israel, obviously. But look at the blessings the Lord has given us. Everybody in this room, we have been so blessed of the Lord. And we want to pass that on to our children and to our grandchildren so that we never forget the Lord in the sense of, you know, him kind of being secondary. And we sort of take over our lives and live as we want. And that's what Peter's talking about here in this book. To keep the Lord primary, first, foremost in our lives. Not only is that good for us, for our well-being, but it grounds us and gives us a foundation because, again, he's going to come into the second chapter of 2 Peter, and it's all about false teachers, the deception, the lies, the lifestyle. And we have all that stuff out in that world facing us today and facing our children. It's all out there. And so we need to heed what we read in this little book of 2 Peter. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for our time together this evening. We ask your blessing on these dear people who have come out, have taken of their time to be under the sound of the Word. We thank you for each and every child that is here this evening. And Father, we would pray that each one of us and the young people and the children here would develop and continue to develop a real fear of the Lord and to have him first in our lives. Lord, keep us from the distractions of this world. Keep us, Lord, from falling asleep spiritually. Help us, Lord, to always and constantly be under the sound of your word. Whether it's reading it ourselves, whether it's listening to it, coming to the meetings of the church, so many ways that we have the opportunity to hear the Word of God and to learn it and to have it part of our minds and our hearts and our beings. Lord, help us to continue to grow and to abound in the things that you say we should abound in because it's for our good, for our benefit. So, Lord, we just commit each one to you this evening and pray that you would watch over us and bless us in this upcoming week until we would gather together again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.